And the book of John is my second favorite book in the Bible. My favorite book is Hebrews. I love Hebrews because if you understand the Jewish culture, it makes everything very, very, very clear. Now, this verse of scripture here, if you just read it, don't think much about it and the implications of it, you don't realize the power of it. Jesus said, "What and if the Son of Man shall be lifted up?" You hear me use that a lot. You see it a lot. I know you get tired of hearing it. But there's a reason. In John 6, 62, 63, Jesus said, "What and if you shall see the Son of Man lifted up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And they really are. There are a lot of preachers that want people to come to church so they can say, "We had so many in Sunday school, we had so many in church, and we're breaking all kind of records, and everything's looking great, and isn't this wonderful?" And they can sit back and relax and say, "Well, everything's fine." And that's good. But they want the people there because they're a number. And because they think that because they're a number, that means that God's work is being accomplished in that church. It's only being accomplished if those people fall in love with the Word of God. If you don't respect and love the Word of God, I'm wasting your time and you're wasting God's time. Now, what's that got to do with where we left off here in John 15, 26? "But when the Comforter is come," the word for comforter is parakletos. It means one called alongside. It means a twin. He said, when he comes, he's just like me. He's a perfect twin to me. And he's got a mission and a role to accomplish just like I had. You cannot differentiate between the personalities of the Holy Spirit, the Son Jesus Christ, and the Father. They are God performing his work as the one God in three offices or three persons. Now, this is very significant. I'm standing down here in front of you this morning, a little short, fat, dumpy man who's a sinner, who's going to die, and by the grace of God is going to heaven. I don't have any power whatsoever. I'm just a human being, very frail, very delicate, very, very much at the mercy of Almighty God and the elements of the world. But when the Comforter came and immersed the First New Testament Church, he did a whole lot more than that. He said, "Whom I will send unto you, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And he did. Now, that's the word of the living God. That's the word of his Son. And do you know the whole New Testament was written by men who that Comforter indwelt and inspired and made sure that you and I had this document? This document is not just a book. This document is just not just words printed on paper. These are the words of the Spirit of Almighty God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they are real, and they are alive, and they can affect your life, they can touch your heart, they can change your personality, they can make life worthwhile, and they can make it worth living. I encourage people to come to church when they're able, because for better or for worse, I do preach the Word of God. I make mistakes in interpretation. Our teachers back here in these Sunday school classes, we don't have Awana. We don't have PDQ, FOB, COD, and IOU. We don't have a large system of programs. But we do have teachers that try to teach the children the Word of God, which we know is alive. You know, as a child, Do you know that the things that I was taught by Sunday school teachers are still alive in me? You say, well, did the Sunday school teachers teach you everything right? No, they did not. I've been here 30 years. I've not taught you everything right. I've had to change sometimes and say I was wrong. But you know, that same Holy Spirit, as a person grows older, they can discover what the Sunday school teacher taught that was wrong, not feel hard against the Sunday school teacher because the Sunday school teacher was doing the best he or she could. And that same Holy Spirit somehow is able to sort all this out and get you to accept the good and reject the bad. That's remarkable. That's remarkable. There are a lot of churches now that are taking on a lot of different programs. They're trying to supplement the Word of God to help it. What preachers and teachers need to do is to study the Word of God and to come to understand what it means to them, how it affects their heart, how it affects the way they think, how it affects the human natures of the people that are there. And they need to let the Word of God be what people fall in love with. Now, I've listened to all the standard arguments and enticements. Believe me, I know them all, and I understand them. You say it's a different society, different people. Do you know why? I do. I sat in a church and was made to be quiet. You say, that's terrible, those horrible parents. No, it taught me discipline. It taught me to respect my elders. It taught me to respect God. I had to sit and listen to messages preached by preachers I didn't understand. You say, well, that's terrible. No, because some of them I did, and some of them I profited from. Am I recommending that we do away with children's chapel and all that and throw it all out the window and say it's worthless? No. Because when we have people in the back teaching children, they teach them the Word of God. And it's alive. And believe it or not, later on down the line, all that teaching you did, and all the times you thought they weren't listening, they did. I'm a product of a lot of teaching by a lot of people. They taught me a lot of things, and they taught me from this book. And this book is alive. It's the most important thing on this earth. And it's the most important instrument in the New Testament church. It needs to be preached and taught from the pulpit, in the Sunday school classes, wherever people are being taught. That's what needs to be taught. He said, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. And they bore witness of him. Matthew wrote a book. Mark wrote a book. John wrote a book. Peter wrote books. There were a lot of them that wrote books. But the wonderful thing is, when that Holy Spirit came, he indwelt Paul, a man called out of his time. And he wrote most of the books in the New Testament. And when that Holy Spirit came, he filled the brother of Jesus, both of them, James and Jude, and they wrote. He filled a lot of people, and they did a lot of writing, and every bit of it's true, because he came. The Lord said he would come, he came, and that's why I love this book. This book is alive. When I cut myself up from it, I'm absolutely miserable. When I don't study it, I get as stale as an old crust of bread. The life seems to go out of me. But when I study it, and when I try to understand it, my love for it is that it helps me tremendously. Gives me a way of life. Helps me to comfort people. Helps me to know what to tell people. Helps me to know what's best for people, even if they don't agree with it. It helps me. And I try to comfort and treat people based on what I think this Word says they need, both in deed, in action, and in word. I fail daily. But when I fail, I ask God to forgive me and I learn from my failures. John 16, 1 through 33. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." The God-breathed word for offended literally means to stumble. He said, "All these things I've spoken unto you that the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of when he comes, and you're going to put in a book." He said, "These things which I have spoken unto you, that you should not stumble," not be a stumbler. You know why people stumble? You know why they go the wrong way? You know why they get irritated at people in the church, at each other? It's because they don't follow what he spoke. They don't forgive. They don't forget. They bear grudges. They say things they shouldn't have said. They act ways they shouldn't have acted. They have variance and envy in their hearts against one another. And they stumble. As long as I stay in this word, when I am wrong, and God knows I'm wrong a lot, God's Spirit convicts me by this same word. And isn't long until I forgive. And I go on and I can't ever forget it because it's in a memory cell. But I just overlook it every time I think of it and go on. You cut yourself off from this book. You quit coming to church. You're going to stumble all the time. You're going to get mad at everybody. You're going to get a contentious spirit inside you, and it's going to eat you alive. You're not going to be happy with life. You're not going to be happy with your husband. You're not going to be happy with your wife. You're not going to be happy with your children. You're not going to be happy with the church. You're not going to be happy with anybody. You'll stumble. And you'll stumble out of the path that God meant for you to walk. That's why this book is so important. This is the only thing I've got that can help me not to stumble. And when I do, reminds me that I need to confess it and get back in fellowship with God. Here's what he told them would happen to them. "They shall put you out of the synagogues." These men had been very religious men that Jesus called. They were devoted. They believed the Messiah was coming. They loved the temple. They loved the synagogue. They were faithful men before Jesus came. "They shall put you out of the synagogues." What a blow to be rejected by your own people. They stumbled. No, they didn't stumble. When they were put out of the synagogues, they didn't stumble. You know why they didn't stumble? Because they knew that what they taught and what they believed was the truth. They didn't go along with tradition. They didn't go along with the teachings of men. And as the church became infiltrated with people teaching false doctrine, they didn't stumble because they knew the word. They knew what Jesus had spoken. They knew what Jesus was writing through them. And they didn't stumble. Now, anybody that tells you religious organizations don't develop a hierarchy doesn't know much about religious organizations. You may call it an association, a fellowship, a convention. I don't care what you call it. But anytime men get involved in a work where the local church is not the one who oversees it and is not the one who controls it, then you're going to find that eventually they're going to develop a hierarchy. And in today's time, men of God need to make up their mind whether they're going to follow this book or the merits of men. And if they get put out, they get put out. But they don't stumble. They don't follow the ways of men. "Yea, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. And believe me, they did." Paul himself, Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, Saul persecuted the church. He keyhauled people. He actually caused them to eventually be put to death. Persecuted the church severely. He thought he was doing God a service. But God kept pricking his heart, like with a stick, with a goad. Paul repented. became one of the greatest servants of God who ever lived in the New Testament. But they persecuted the church. They put people out of the synagogues. You can't serve God and expect to please men and the traditions of men. You can't do it. You have to make up your mind whether you're going to please God or whether you're going to please men. Our beliefs as missionary Baptists are not traditional missionary Baptist belief. They are based on the Word of God, which we know to be the truth, and we observe those ordinances as we interpret them within the context of the men who wrote this by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If we ever get away from that, we'll stumble. But as long as we stick to what God taught, to what the Comforter taught us in this book, we won't stumble. We may be killed. We may be rejected by mankind. We may be persecuted and hated, but we will not stumble off the road that God placed for us to follow. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Today, and during the Dark Ages, there is tremendous persecution of the true belief, the true church. If you want to go off on your own and follow a man-made religion that some man formed and wrote his own concepts of this book and his own definition of a church and his own definition of the Lord's Supper and his own definition of secure the believer. If you want to follow a man's teaching, the devil's not going to bother you very much because you're doing just exactly what he wants. And if you're saved, he cannot unsave you. So he just hinders you and causes you to stumble. But in some cases, we have people in churches who don't even know the Lord any more than Moody's goose. The Bible indicates, if you be without chastisement, if you don't ever have any punishment, any raising by God, if you be without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons. He says, I'm not their father. They don't know me. They don't know my son. And you can be very religious. In the name of Jesus, Jesus, can float off your tongue like silver. And you can lift your hand and say, God, Almighty God, and still not knowing, and still not understanding, because your salvation is based on a false teaching that this Comforter does not honor. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. 3.5 years. You know, you take a human being without the Spirit of God, just a normal run-of-the-mill human being, born just like the rest of us, grows up, let's say he or she comes to age 30. If that individual is standing out on a corner and he sees a wreck occur, he will give his account to the police. You may have another man raised in a different environment, different set of values, lost, standing on the opposite corner, and he'll give his account to the police. If you have a whole bunch of witnesses and you put all the accounts together, it's the biggest maze of confusion you have ever seen in your life. All these trials we have on TV now give a pretty good illustration of that. And the human being is not capable of total recall. Oh, there may be some people that have special abilities that are gifted in that way. But God's Holy Spirit came and indwelt these men, and he called to remembrance everything that Jesus had said. That's why if you take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you put them all together, it's called the harmony of the Gospels. They all fit. They could only fit if there was one supernatural being, the Comforter, the Spirit of God, indwelling them as they wrote. And this comforter indwelt 40 different men, about 40, over a 1,500 to 1,600 year period, and he put this together, and they all mesh. This is the living word of God. Believe it or not, God does have total recall. And the Spirit of God reminded them of everything Jesus said that he wanted recorded. That he wanted recorded. And they wrote it. You believe that? Do you believe that? I mean, do you really believe that? Do you honestly believe that? Do you honestly believe it? Then, shouldn't we be here every time it's presented? Isn't this the most valuable thing on the surface of God's earth? If you're physically able and don't have any major impairments, deaths, things of that nature, you ought to be here. Am I getting on to you? No, I am not. Don't take it that way. Don't take it personal. You believe that, you ought to be here. If we didn't present the Word of God here, we didn't teach it, you'd have an excuse. But we do. And we take it line by line, verse by verse, and what it says and what it means. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. He said, these things I didn't tell you when I first started traveling with you, because I was with you. He said, I didn't have to tell you. He said, I was telling you, and I was speaking directly to you as God. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus Christ spoke directly as God. And everything that he said came directly from God. And everything this comforter had these men write came directly from God. If you knew that Jesus Christ was going to be here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, and you knew he was personally going to be here, you'd be here. He is personally here. He said, what an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's what he said. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, you may misinterpret it. Aha, you're right. But there it is. And he said it. You've got the same Spirit of God I have in you. If what I'm teaching is not correct and the way I'm presenting it is not correct, surely he'll show you. But if he cuts your heart and wounds it and makes you feel guilty, you think it's because he doesn't like you? You think it's because he wants to punish you? No, it's because he loves you. And because he wants you to try and live your life following the example of his Son. He knows you can't do it perfectly. I would have to say he may know you can't even do it imperfectly. But he certainly wants you to try. Jesus said, but now I go my way to him that sent me. He said, I'm going away. He said, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? He said, none of you asked me where I was going. Why didn't they ask? He told them on the way down to Jerusalem in Mark the 10th chapter, he said, I'm going up to Jerusalem. They're going to arrest me. They're going to beat me. They're going to reject me. They're going to crucify me. They're going to kill me. And I'm going to be buried and rise again on the third day. It went in one ear and out the other. You know why? They thought he was going to establish the kingdom right then. They thought they were going to get all this stuff right now. They thought he was going to raise up a great army. And as the Son of God would establish his kingdom on this earth. That's what they thought. And James and John even asked him if they could sit on his right side and his left side. They never did understand this spiritual concept of a resurrected Savior and a spiritual kingdom. But they understood it afterwards. How? How did they understand it afterwards? Who told them? The Comforter. And Jesus appeared. And on the disciples, on the Emmaus Road, he came and spoke to them and disappeared from their sight. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened unto us the scripture? I ask you this, as a servant of God, do your hearts burn when you're exposed to the words of God? Do your hearts burn with passion and with love and with adoration and with thanksgiving and praise when the word of God is unfolded to you? If not, why not? Is it because your heart is not in the fellowship with God that he would have it to be in? And if his presence is manifested in each local New Testament church, as he said in Ephesians 2:22, in whom ye are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit, if he is not clearly in the midst of every church when it assembles, then is that not fellowship with God? Do you come to church to fellowship with God? If so, his Son is in the midst of this assembly. And by coming and fellowshipping with the parts of that body, which is the church, you fellowship with God. What's the most important thing in your life? Your profession? Your friends? Your economic situation? What's the most important thing in your life? It ought to be the Word of God. Is the Word of God a person? Yes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I fellowship with God right here. With you. Because you are his body. And I'm a part of that body. And his Son is here. And that's how I fellowship with God. I don't encourage you. I don't get on to you about not coming to church. Some preachers just rag people to death about not coming to church. Listen, that's up to you. But you need to think about why you're supposed to come. If you come before because you love the Word of God, you're coming for the right reason. And everything else will take care of itself. But if you're coming for any other reason, you haven't found the real purpose in life. My goodness, it's a quarter till 11. And I'm going to stop right there at verse 6. And Brother Capel, if you want to come.